Greetings this morning. In Christ's name, I've just been richly blessed by being here this morning. Really appreciate the devotional that Brother Joe shared with us on courage, and our Sunday school lesson was on that as well. The challenge that we received to show courage, stand up for what is right. The difference that I was challenged with the thought of, you know, the difference that makes in the next generations, the impact that has. Well, may we be faithful. May we be men of courage, and following God, His direction, as He would desire us to. This morning, I would like to continue on again with the Christian Home series. I was given a request or encouraged, I'm not quite sure exactly what it was, but to back up a bit and touch on an area that I did not cover in thinking of preparation for a Christian home. It's an area that I believe is very, very important. We've been looking, or I guess some of the things we did look at was the roles of husband and wife and the blessings of marriage. But this morning I'd like to back up. I felt led to back up before that even, and speak primarily to the young people, entitled the message, Christian Courtship. Wasn't sure on speaking on this. There's probably a reason why I didn't to begin with. I don't know if there's a real big reason or not. I just hadn't really felt led to do that. But after receiving some encouragement and studying on this for the past little while here, I felt led to share on this. So I'd like to do that this morning. Christian courtship. This is an area where we need a lot of direction. This is an area where a lot of guidance from parents and others is extremely important. I'm not sure why God chose to place this responsibility on a young individual who hasn't had much experience in life. That's just the way it is, the way it works here. But certainly you do well to, as young people, to seek the counsel and direction from, number one, I believe, your parents. And the church as well. We'll touch on those things possibly as we get into this. As I thought of Christian courtship, you won't necessarily find, I don't believe you'll find that I'm aware of, I looked into it some, but you won't find the word courtship in the Bible. I don't believe it's there. But it is an important subject. Now, this morning we're specifying Christian courtship. By specifying Christian courtship, I believe that we would be implying that there is a courtship that is not Christian. And I'm sure we would all agree with that. We would recognize that. There is, in fact, there is far too much of it, of a courtship that is not Christian. Sometimes when, you know, here in our Christian setting, protected setting, we could maybe say, when we think of courtship that is not Christian, we think that, well, that's out there. It's out there somewhere. We don't have an issue with that. We don't have a problem with that. But this morning I'd like to tell you that there is a lot of courtship in conservative churches that is not Christian. I really believe that. There is a lot of courtship in in Christian, in conservative churches that is not Christian. And I believe that we as parents have a tremendous responsibility in teaching and addressing this subject. I believe that every parent and every church that is concerned about the purity of its young people will take it seriously, the responsibility of addressing this subject. It is serious. It is a very serious thing. And as I was studying this, I found a lot of material, good material. There's a lot of good material available that offers much in the way of godly counsel and advice on this subject of Christian courtship, and some of my thoughts somewhat came from some of those books. I want to give credit to that. But there's a lot out there of good material that I think is good to read, good to think about. There's obviously a lot there that's not good as well. But first of all, what is Christian courtship? It has been defined this way. Christian courtship is a sanctified friendship exercised in godly fear for the purpose of discerning God's will for their lives. It far transcends the haphazard lottery of random dating. It is sacredly serious, not merely social. There's a lot there. For courtship to be Christian, both participants must be fully committed Christians. And I believe that's something that we need to have settled in our minds first of all. It is not enough to be reared in a Christian home. It is not enough to promise someday to become a Christian. Merely being a church member is not any better. But priority number one, is a total commitment to Christ and His church. A total commitment, sold out to Jesus Christ. True courtship, true Christian courtship, is a sacred interest between two God-fearing and God-loving Christians, earnestly and sincerely seeking to know and follow God's plan for their lives. The purpose of keeping each other's company as we think of two individuals with a special friendship. The purpose of keeping each other's company is not entertainment, as so many would like to look at it, but it's a time of observation, and we'll be touching on this area of things to observe. We'll get to that in a bit. But it is a means of obtaining thorough, intimate understanding of each other's characteristics. And there's a lot involved in that. It's a testing of the feasibility of blending these two separate personalities into one blessed, harmonious union. God, the author of marriage, has created us as social beings who need each other. That's a fact. We do that. And so how natural, how legitimate, how reasonable then it is for young men and women of acceptable age and character to deeply be interested in finding that special someone that the Lord has prepared to be their companion for life. I believe Christian courtship is hallowed ground. Tread softly. God is there. I believe we should view it that way. It is Christian courtship now. It is hallowed ground. I'd like to tell each of you young people that no one is more interested in your social affairs than God Himself. I really believe that. No one is more interested in that. No one is more concerned about your social and eternal happiness. God, who knows the final outcome of everything from its very beginning, I believe yearns to bless you far beyond your anticipation. But before he can give you the utmost in a blessed marriage and a happy home life, he must have the highest degree of devotion from your heart. The highest degree of devotion from your heart, yielded completely to him in all areas of life, nothing reserved. Dear youth, where you stand is holy ground. The choices that you make today will have far-reaching consequences in your life and in the lives of others and in the lives of, well, future generations. I don't believe you can really comprehend the difference that your present choices will make in eternity. I believe the poet, I come across a little poem, saying, whatever it is, the poet illustrates the significance of today's choices this way, where it says, "Your life lies before you like a path of driven snow. Be careful how you tread it, for every step will show." Obviously, if you want your path to lead to a right end, you must be sure that the first steps set you in a right course. You know, if you take the wrong steps, yes, you may change later. You may change course later. That is possible. But the wayward footprints will remain. They will be there as scars. Let's think for a bit about preparation for Christian courtship. Make sure that you're ready for marriage and its responsibilities before you contemplate this of courtship. Now, you may question that a bit, and we'll clarify that a little more, what I mean by that. But remember, there is a definite purpose and goal in courtship. And we must only begin courtship with that in mind, with a definite goal and purpose. It is to be purposeful in seeking a life companion. Probably none of us have really felt adequate and ready for this awesome task of marriage and raising a family. And yet I believe that no young person should undertake this without considering themselves mature enough to take that step. Yes, there's room to grow. There's always room to grow. But it is very important that the maturity is there. And again, here's where our parents and other faithful individuals can help us in deciphering this. The first step is not in trying to find the right person for a marriage companion, but rather in being that right person. In being that right person yourself. And that's what I mean about being ready before you take the step of courtship. Be the right person yourself. You will always have to live with yourself, whether you are married or not. You know, it's easy for young people to spend a lot of time contemplating and wondering and almost be taken up with who's the right one for me? Who is it? Who does God have for me? Is this the one, or is this the one? Some of that is normal. Of course, we wonder those things. But the emphasis should be and must be in being the right one yourself. Because after all, you're the one that you have to live with yourself. If you're convinced that finding a companion will make you happy, then you're in for a surprise. If you feel that finding a companion is the only way, maybe I should say, to be happy, then you're in for a surprise. I believe that it is the will of God for most people to be married, to experience the blessedness of marriage. Certainly it is that. We'll say that very clearly from my experience, the blessedness of marriage. But that is not the ultimate. We dare not view it as such. The ultimate is a proper relationship with God. That alone is going to bring you the peace and satisfaction you need. Who will you serve? I believe that's the issue that needs to be settled first. I believe the most important preparation for courtship and marriage is to be a Christian, to be a child of God. The age when most begin courtship is a time of growing and learning. We recognize that, a young individual. It's also a time when you face intense desires and attractions of the flesh like you never have before. That's why this subject is so important. As you reach the age when courtship becomes something you think about, you need to remember that you are facing within you desires that you have never really had before. As a child of God, you need to recognize those fleshly desires and impulses and come before God with those things. Overcome those things. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I have some verses here that I believe are very helpful in this area. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Read verses 4 through 6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The unsaved person does not have the weapons he needs to fight the enemy, nor the spiritual armor to protect him from the fiery darts of the wicked. It's not there. A person who does not have God in their life will not be able to stand when these tests come, when these temptations come. And that's why settling the issue of who you will serve will help you prepare for things you will face. Courtship is a serious step. I don't believe we can overemphasize that. Courtship is a serious step, and you will need God's help. Psalm 27, verse 33 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I'd like to look now at the book of Proverbs and think about discerning God's will in courtship. Proverbs chapter 3, turn to that. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know, some young people think that they have all of the answers, and really, they haven't even heard the questions yet. You know what I mean? I think maybe I was there. And I still don't feel like I have heard all the questions. Be not wise in thine own eyes. You cannot trust in the Lord with all thine heart, that it says here, and lean unto thine own understanding, unless you have a personal relationship with God before you begin considering courtship. You cannot. You cannot trust in the Lord with all thine heart unless you have that personal, daily communion with Him. That's why it's so important. And it is stressed. You hear it again and again, the importance of a personal devotional life, personal time with the Lord. We need it. You need it. As you think of beginning or considering courtship, you simply cannot properly discern God's will on your own. He will not write His will on the wall, and He will seldom show His will in a dream. I've heard of individuals where they said that God, I'm thinking of one particular incident anyway, it happened quite a number of years ago when I was still a young individual. This young man told me that he had a dream, and the Lord revealed to him who he was going to marry. So that's who he was going to pursue. Well, he's married to another individual today. You can't go by dreams. The Lord generally will not show His will by a dream. God speaks to you through the counsel of your parents and through other godly Christians. And may you consider that. May you consider the Lord and wait on Him. If you are considering courtship with someone who does not have that solid commitment with Jesus Christ, don't go there. Don't even go there. Don't waste your time. Don't think for a moment that you can change that individual by courting him or her and marrying them. You might be able to reform them a little bit with your influence, but only the new birth will do that. Only the new birth will transform someone from inside out. The important thing is to consider the person's relationship with the Lord, which is something that every person must have for themselves. Every person must have that within themselves, be experiencing that. The child of God also has the Holy Spirit to guide him, and that's help that we cannot do without. As you consider courtship, check your life and the life of the one who you are considering for evidence of spiritual fruit. You can't argue with fruit. If it's apples, it's apples. You can't argue with fruit that is there in an individual's life. It's there and it's evidence of something that is within. Whether it's good fruit or bitter fruit, whatever it is, it's evidence of what is within. The fruit of the Spirit in a person's life is hard to counterfeit. It really is. We're not speaking about perfection we're not speaking about being perfect, about, you know, being a perfect individual, but we're talking about growth in Christian graces. We also need to understand the importance of prayer. And would have liked to turn to this. I'm not sure that we really have time, but in the book of Genesis, we have a beautiful example of answered prayer in Isaac and Rebekah's courtship. And Isaac and Rebekah's example there is interesting to me. Abraham, we know the story. Abraham had sent his trusted servant Eliezer across the desert to Mesopotamia to look for Isaac's bride, and now he was returning. We have that in Genesis 24. I believe Isaac knew what Eliezer's mission was when Eliezer left home. I think he spent his time in serious prayer. Young men, if you think you have it hard in discerning and deciding whom to choose for a wife, can you imagine Isaac's situation here? His father sends his servant away and simply says, he's going to bring you a wife. How would you like that? All the time Eliezer was gone, I believe that Isaac spent a lot of time in prayer. I believe he was at home praying that God's will would be done, that the right one would somehow it would take place in a right way. I can imagine Isaac going out every day, looking toward Mesopotamia and wondering, are the camels coming? Can I see those camels coming yet? One night, as he was out there praying, as he went out to pray, he saw them coming. Hard to imagine what all was going through his mind. Can you imagine Rebecca's feelings here? Young ladies, sometimes you think you've got it hard, but read the account here in Genesis 24, 64, and 65. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. When she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. What did she do? Did she whip out that little mirror real quick and comb and try to dress everything up? He's here. Up there he is. I'm gonna meet him. Hardly. I doubt if she did that. Too often we focus on physical beauty and we miss the importance of that personal relationship with God and the inner beauty that God places a premium on. Then it goes on, verses 66 and 67 there in Genesis 24. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. To me, that is a beautiful picture of prayer and seeking the will of God. A beautiful picture. Well, we need to move on. I would like to look at some things now that I believe are very important to consider before courtship. Not quite sure how many there are, 7 or 8 of them, I believe. Some things that I believe are very important to consider before courting. Number one, love the church. That is where we lay the groundwork for courtship. God has instituted and instructed the church to provide direction and protection for your spiritual life. I believe a person's submission is often tested in two ways. One is submission in the home, and secondly, submission in the church. And I believe it's a real blessing as those two work together, the home and the church. I believe it's a blessing when the home and the church have tested that submission and it's not up to the young man to find out whether his wife-to-be is going to be submissive or not. That should be settled a long time before it got to that point. Is she submissive or not? I feel sorry for the young man who marries a young lady who he really doesn't know and finds out that she has never learned to submit. What a sad thing. How does that young man or young woman you are considering view the church? How do they view its standards, its leaders, its members? Do you think it's courtship material when the young man you are considering loves to talk about the ministry and some of the dumb decisions they made? What about their smart remarks about the brother or sister they think is just too critical? I believe these things ought to be a huge warning sign. Those who do not love and respect the apple of God's eyes are not candidates for Christian courtship. They simply are not. The church is the apple of God's eye, and if someone does not love the church that God loves, it would be very, very dangerous to pursue courtship with that individual. Number two, develop personal convictions. Develop personal convictions. As you become older, you know, the accountability for your welfare kind of shifts more and more to your own shoulders in a way. Dad and mom aren't always going to be at your side calling the shots for you. You know, it's a blessing when youth who have reached that age do consider the church and their parents in their decisions that need to be made. But it's very important that you develop personal convictions. Know where you stand. Stand on the truth. Have those convictions within you. Have you personally established convictions about how you will conduct yourself? Should you begin a courtship? Never compromise biblical conviction just so you can have a special friend. I've seen that happen, and it generally does not have a good end. Those who are not stable enough to establish and uphold personal convictions are not ready for courtship. I believe this preparation for courtship is extremely important. How many broken hearts have come to those who began or continued courtship for the sake of trying to help someone? It simply does not work that way. Simply does not. It will not work that way. Number three, cultivate a pure heart. A lot could be said on this. Cultivate a pure heart. The passions of the body entering adulthood pose a special threat to you as young people. They need to be dealt with. I'm here to tell you this morning that the prince of this world is doing all he can to pollute your mind and your heart. And I believe you do well to heed the words of Solomon, Proverbs 4, if you're there in Proverbs yet. Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In Colossians 3, let's just turn to that. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 6. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. There's a lot in these verses. I believe the list of sins here in Colossians covers the courting couple's temptations very well. I think it does a very good job of that. Fornication is sexual immorality. Uncleanness is any sexual activity outside of holy matrimony, something that God warns very strongly against. Inordinate affection is the inner emotion and excitement that corresponds with fornication and uncleanness. Evil concupiscence is the desire for the forbidden, simply the desire. It's not only the act that God calls evil. That's why we emphasize a hands-off courtship. It helps the courting couple to stay away from this list of sins and maintain Christian principles. When we practice carefulness, when we practice the hands-off courtship. It also mentions here covetousness, which is idolatry. Let's suppose a young man wants to court a certain girl, but she does not accept his invitation. What happens then? Well, he wants her so badly that it affects his attitude and behavior. Or suppose that they are courting, and he is so stuck on marrying her that he rushes things more than she or other concerned Christians are comfortable with. Isn't he coveting her? Since she is not yet his, has she become his idol? I believe it could enter in there. I believe we need to understand that God has a plan and God has his own way of working things out. The Bible says all these things bring the wrath of God upon those who disobey him by doing them. It's not just those who commit fornication, but the very thought of it. We need to make a commitment. Make a commitment to purity long before the thing of courtship comes up. Before you face the issue of courtship. Think of Joseph, where he said there in Genesis 39, verse 9, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" There are many, many temptations that can come from a close friendship. So let's make a commitment to purity and cultivate a pure heart long before entering into courtship. Number four, appreciate your parents' authority and counsel. Your parents don't know everything. They certainly do not, but they love you and want what is best for you. Remember, experience has taught them a lot of things. You know, we all expect we're going to be a lot smarter 20 years from now than what we are now. But never forget, that's where Dad and Mom are now. They've been through things. They've been through experiences that have given them knowledge. They know what is best many, many times, more than what we think that they do. Not so long ago, they were right where you are now. And you know, the human nature hasn't really changed a whole lot since then. They face things that you're facing, and they want what is best for you. Number five, value the contribution of others. Value the contribution of others. Many young people tend to feel quite capable in making decisions themselves, but you need the help and guidance of mature Christian friends. Number six, learn how to evaluate character. Choose your friend by evaluating character. Your choice must be based on more than just your feelings. Rather than being influenced by outward beauty and charm, look for evidence that a person is living close to the Lord and striving to honor him. How is he or she in a church service? Is he or she attentive? Young ladies, don't even consider a young man eligible for courtship if he can't pay attention to the sermon for 45 minutes or an hour, or if it goes longer. Don't pay attention to him. Don't consider them. If he comes in, finds his seat, slumps down as far as he can, and can't wait for church to be over, you don't have to be embarrassed to say no if he asks you for your friendship. There are many, many things about an individual that can give you a glimpse of his or her character. Does the young man have a sober mind? Observe whether he is sincere or not. You can see that. Again, fruit generally is pretty accurate, generally does not lie. Are his actions different when older people are nearby, or if he's in the company of his peers? Are they different? He should be guided by spiritual interests and be subject to spiritual leadership. His life and dress should be consistent with the spirit of the church, disciplined and a good example of believers. What about the young man's vehicle that he's driving? Does it reflect simplicity and good stewardship? Young ladies, if you are drawn to that young man just because of his nice car or truck, remember, in 20 years, that vehicle is probably going to be about wore out and you're still going to be stuck with him. That'll probably be the case. What about the young man's occupation? What does he do? What does he do for a living? His choice of occupation should be consistent with Christian principles. Beware if there are signs of an independent streak. Switching to the other side of the house now. Young man, the young woman you consider should be noted for her humble dignity, not for the attention-getting patterns or colors of her clothing. She should not make frequent glances toward the boys or act and place herself so she gets the attention of others. You don't want that kind of an individual. Her life should demonstrate cheerful contentment and show appreciation for the practical things rather than the extravagant things of life. She should fit harmoniously into home and family life and be able to mingle well with a variety of individuals. Her quiet example should inspire others to noble goals and pure conduct. Young man, if the lady you are considering has to have every new dress material that comes on the market, you'd better get ready, because when you say I do, then it's going to be your responsibility to buy those things. Dad and Mom aren't going to do it. If you're drawn to the girl across the aisle because you think she's got nice dark hair or blonde hair or pretty eyes, I want to warn you, she might keep the pretty eyes, but I can't guarantee much about the hair. Those things change. We can't go by those things, those physical things. It's going to change down the road. But if you focus on character, it's only going to get better. And as you live longer and closer with the Lord, I believe your character will be more beautiful as you develop more of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Your character will only get better. Number 7, maintain sobriety and dignity. Young man, as you pray, as to whom God would have you choose for a special friend, you know, you might find your attention being drawn repeatedly toward one particular young woman. That certainly could be God directing you. Well, this time calls for careful propriety. It's foolish to make public the issues of your heart. Doing that, I believe, only indicates that you are not willing to wait on the Lord's timing. Really, it shows a lack of maturity when a young man has a reputation of chasing a girl. When you give attention to a girl, be careful and sober about it. Now, young women, you know, if you get the impression that a young man is giving you special attention, I believe that is a time that you need to seek God's help even more earnestly to keep your place. Sometimes young women have been mistaken in their impressions and have suffered much grief. I believe girls tend to do this plenty easily. I believe girls tend to do this quite easily at times. Just because a young man smiles at you and shows some common courtesy to you doesn't mean that he's considering you for a special friendship. It does not. Does not mean that. Allow them to be men without reading something into it. On the other hand, young men, be very careful that you don't lead a girl on by singling her out continually with special attention if there's nothing to it. Reserve that special attention for after you have agreed to start that special friendship. Well, a lot more could probably be said about that. But number 8, the young man should initiate courtship. This is simply the headship order. And again, young men, consult your parents. And I believe there is a lot of wisdom in asking advice from someone who really knows the young lady's character that you are considering. Pray about it. Ask advice. Give the young lady time. Don't just drop her a note and say that I'm coming to see you next Sunday. That's not generally a good way to do it. She needs a little time to think about it. Be respectful and understanding. Young ladies, you need to be respectful as well. If a young man asks for your friendship, it's up to you to pray, seek the Lord's will, and ask counsel for your from your parents and others. You know, if you're undecided or feel it's not the Lord's will to accept his invitation, you don't have to be ashamed to tell him. Explain how you feel. Tell him that. However, it's very important to be respectful. You young ladies probably don't know what young men go through before they ask someone to begin a courtship. You probably don't know what all they go through. If he wrote a letter, it probably took a whole lot of paper to get that first letter out. Or if he approached her in person, it probably took a lot of sweating and nervousness to get it accomplished. It sure did me. He doesn't just dash off a letter and then forget about it. He don't do that. He's thought about it for a long time. It's something he probably has prayed about long and hard. What I'm saying is, don't just simply say no and walk away. That is terribly disrespectful. Don't just say no and walk away. Be respectful. Again, advice and help and counsel from our parents in this area goes a long way. In my generation, a plan to begin courtship was a secretive thing. At least it was where I was at. It seemed to be quite a secretive thing. Perhaps it was overdone that way. But it seems to me that somehow it cheapens it when the young man or young woman needs to spend a lot of time on the phone to make sure that all their best friends know what's going to happen. To me, that cheapens the whole thing. Let's remember that there is a proper way to do it, one that is God honoring and glorifying. Well, I had another part here yet, but I think it's time to close on how to conduct a Christian courtship. Didn't have just a lot on this. Maybe we'll see if we can conclude that at a different time. This is a very important part in your life, important time in your life. And I'd like to just close with the thought, again, that poem that I read, your life lies before you like a path of driven snow. Be careful how you tread it, for every step will show. I trust that you young people will rise to the challenge before you. And as we've learned from those before us, you too will learn from the spiritual men and women of our generation and establish strong homes and families. Young people, there's so much at stake in courtship. Though it is an exciting time, it is, I won't deny that. It was for me. Let's also remember it is a very, very serious time and treat it as such. Let's kneel for prayer.